Hallelujah. There's nobody like you, Jesus. There is none beside you, O great God. You are high and lifted up. We exalt you today, O Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Ezekiel chapter 47, in verse number 1, the man of the angel brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Everybody say the east. The temple faced east. The water was coming down. Everybody say down. The water was coming down under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out. Everybody say out. Through the gate that led me around outside of the outer gate facing the east, and the water was flowing from the south side. The water was flowing from the south side. I want to preach to you for just a few moments here this morning on this topic. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. There is a river of God's presence and His power in this sanctuary this morning. It's flowing through this place. We want it to flow in us. Would you lay your Bibles down? Let's lift our voices to heaven right now and let's ask Him to talk to us in the next few moments of this service. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your Spirit and your power that is here. Release your word, Lord, and release your power. Let it do what it is set forth to do here today. Fill somebody with your Spirit and renew somebody with your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. You can be seated in Jesus' name. If you didn't realize it or not, it's a little wet in St. Louis today. In fact, it's been a little wet for the last few days, the last several days here in St. Louis. I looked at the totals early this morning, and between 3 and 6 inches has fallen of rain just in the last 24 hours. Depending on where you measure it in the St. Louis area, north or south, between 3 and 6 inches of rain in the last 24 hours, and they're expecting 2 to 3 inches more combined total over the area for today. Roofs are leaking, hopefully none of yours, but basements are flooding, some even in the church here, folks in the church. But probably the most widespread and the most significant impact, the most widespread impact is coming or expected to come over the next few days from our swollen rivers. There are river warnings. There were river watches several days ago, and now they have turned into warnings. And they're not predicting it might happen, but they're saying it is a matter of fact, it will happen, that the rivers are swollen from all of the rain that we've been getting over the last days and even over the last few weeks. The Mississippi River is under warning. The Missouri River is under warning. Flooding is expected. As of 9 p.m. last night, they were just below flood stage, but of course that is changing by the hour with the rain continuing to fall. The Merrimack River, which affects several of us that live near or on the Merrimack River, it's already above flood stage by a few feet, and it's expected to crest in the next few days, and we're certainly praying for those that are being impacted by all of the rain and by the rivers, those that are being negatively impacted. Men will try and are trying to channel the rivers. They're trying to control the rivers. They'll sandbag and they'll put up dikes and levees to try to stop the rivers impact. However, there is another river that is flowing this morning. Of course, I'm not speaking of the Mississippi, the Missouri, or the Merrimack, but I'm speaking of the river of the presence of the living God that is in this sanctuary today. In fact, it was flowing before we even showed up here. It was flowing as we walked in, and as the songs of Zion have went forth, it has continued to flow, and we are feeling the presence of God and the presence of that river here today. In fact, let me pause here and tell you, if you're unsure what it is you're feeling, I've heard people describe the presence of God in various, many different ways. A pastor shared the description of the woman that gave the description of what it felt like to be filled with the presence of God. People have described it many ways. Maybe you're here for the first time this morning, and maybe you're feeling something unique. Maybe you're feeling something that feels good, but you're not quite sure what it is or what it means. I've come to preach to you very simply that that it is the flow of His presence, His Spirit. Who is that? That is the God that created the heavens and the earth. He is in this place this morning. The God that created every man and woman in this room is in this place this morning. The God who gave us the very breath that we breathe in our body, it is His presence and His power and His Spirit that is in this sanctuary this morning. The psalmist wrote, you visit the earth and you water it. You greatly enrich it. He's certainly watering the earth naturally this morning, but He is also watering us spiritually with His rain today. It says the river of God is full. And I've come to preach a simple message to somebody and tell you that the rain of the Spirit is upon us, and the river of God is full, and God wants us to let His river flow. He wants to help somebody here today. He wants to minister to somebody here today. God knows what's troubling you. He's interested in what's troubling you. He knows the problems and the dilemmas that you face. There is nothing that escapes His eye. There is nothing that is outside of His knowledge. He knows the very numbers of hair on our head. The Bible says that He even sees when the little bird, the little sparrow falls out of its nest, when it falls from the sky. If He sees a sparrow, you can rest assured, brother or sister, He sees you. If He knows that when a little bird gets displaced, He knows what you're feeling this morning. If you're feeling displaced, He knows what you're feeling here today. It was the beautiful revelation of Job when he said, He knows the way that I take. I've come to declare to somebody that He knows the way that you take. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. Earlier in the book of Ezekiel, God had instructed the angel to mark the foreheads of those who sighed and those who cried out to God. Can I tell you that God hears every word you pray? God hears every word you speak. He sees the actions that you take. But can I tell you, when you don't even know the words to pray, God sees every sigh. He sees every tear. He hears every cry. I've come to encourage somebody today and let you know that God knows where you're at, and He knows what's troubling you. He sees when you're juggling to pay the bills. He knows when you're sighing and wondering what's going to happen with your child, parent. He knows what you feel when you're feeling overwhelmed. He knows the struggle that you're in. He sees that you struggle to forgive. He knows that some of you maybe have fallen again into that same old temptation. He sees it when you lose your way time and time again. He sees it when you're ready to give up and when you're ready to give in. He sees it and He knows it. But I've come with good news. God is not an inconsistent friend. God is not a fair weather friend. He doesn't see what you're going through and avoid you because He doesn't know what to say. God is never at loss for words. God is never at loss for what to say or what to do in a situation. He's not like the priest or the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan that would just kind of look at what you're going through and walk away and say, you know what, I've got enough going on today. I've got too many people to bless. I've got too many people to touch. I don't have time for what you're going through. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't walk away from you. He doesn't run from your problems. If anything, He runs to your problems. He doesn't run from your cry, but if anything, He runs to your cry, and He does so by the flowing of His Spirit. And I'm preaching that the flow of that Spirit is in this sanctuary this morning. It's in this house right now. The Bible says that Ezekiel saw a spiritual river, and I'm going to use this river as an analogy this morning. The river has always been associated with life ever since the Garden of Eden. It was the site of man's beginning, man's genesis. It was Eden that was surrounded by rivers. And as you see in the civilization of mankind, villages will spring up and did spring up along the banks of a river. Along the River Nile, an entire civilization sprang drying up along the flow of that river. I've been on multiple occasions to the Amazon River in Brazil with Brother Benny DeMerchant, who since went on to be with the Lord, and civilization has sprung up and down that river because the river brings life. The river can sustain. The river was energy. It was the conveyance of resources, and the river represented life in scriptural times, and the river that I'm preaching about today also represents life. It's a river of His life. It's a river of His presence. I'm preaching today about the river, and He wants us to let that river flow. The Bible says the angel who accompanied Ezekiel showed him this river. It flowed from the temple, Jerusalem. And as it in Jerusalem, as it flowed, it grew bigger and it grew stronger. It grew deeper and it grew wider. As the river would flow, trees would sprout up along the banks of a river. Fruit-bearing trees would spring up along the banks of the river. And Ezekiel would write about this a little bit later on. The river flowed ultimately to the Dead Sea, and there it brought life, and fish multiplied, and fishermen were sustained by what they received from the source of that river and what they received from the destination of that river. And Ezekiel makes this powerful statement about the river in verse number 9. He says, where the river flows, everything will live. Can I tell you that God's Spirit is like a river, and where the river flows, there is a life-giving flow. Where the river flows, everything will live. God's Spirit is here to bring life to somebody today. It's here to bring new life to somebody today, and God wants you to have the abundant life that river of His presence can bring. We see this idea, this concept of the river, and it's applicable to all cultures and to all times. We understand that His Spirit is flowing as that river. Can I remind you today that while there is a river that flows anywhere and everywhere, that God has a house that He always flows in and is always willing to flow in. And certainly we could say that of the church house today, of the church, the physical building. But what I'm preaching about right now is more than a physical building. It's more than brick and stone, and it's more than shingles, and it's more than all of these things. But I'm preaching about the living stones that are in this building. I'm preaching about every individual believer that is in this building. The Bible says that we are the temple of God's dwelling. We have a culture that it surrounds itself with shrines and temples and gathering places and arenas and auditoriums. But I'm telling you that this is more than just another gathering place. This is the temple of God. It's the temple of God because of the people of God that are here today, who have come into this place filled with His presence and full of His Spirit. And for that reason, His presence is flowing here today. Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, know ye not. He said, you're the temple of God. You're the temple of God and the Spirit of God. That it's the Spirit of God that dwells in you. Anybody thankful for the Spirit of God that dwells in us? In his second letter to the same group of people, Paul said this. He said, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Can I tell you that God designed everyone in this room to be a temple of the living God. He designed you to be the dwelling place of His presence. He designed you to be the dwelling place of the flow of His Spirit. It means that God can and will dwell in us, that He wants to make a home in each of us. He dwells in us by the power of His Spirit. Paul wrote about this in the book of Romans, and I'll paraphrase. He said, so then are those who are living the life of the flesh, those that are catering, in other words, to the appetites and the impulses of their carnal nature, they cannot please or satisfy God, nor can they be acceptable to Him. But he said, you are not living a life after the flesh. Let me say that again. He said, you are not living a life after the flesh. You are living a life of the Spirit. Anybody thankful for the Spirit? If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells in you, then it directs you. It controls you. But if anyone doesn't possess the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I'm telling you, what Paul was writing about is the same Spirit that we are feeling here today. It is the Spirit of Christ that can live in us, that can dwell in us. It is like a river that springs up into everlasting life, and it gives life everywhere it flows. What does a river do? It moves. A lake stands still, but a river flows. A river is in motion. Can I tell you what the Spirit does? It moves. The Spirit moves all the way back in the beginning. All the way back in Genesis, before time as we know it began, the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep. It was in Acts chapter 2 that the Spirit moved in the upper room. And the Spirit flows in this place today. I'm telling you, the river is flowing, and we ought to let the river flow and let the river do what it wants and flow where it wants. Somebody needs to just let the river flow. Three ways in this text that I can see that the river flows. First, the Bible says that it flowed east. It flowed east. When God gave instructions for his house to be built, he told Moses to face the tabernacle toward the east. And from then on, each tabernacle and temple was built toward the rising of the sun, toward the dawn of the new day. And when Ezekiel saw the river flow from the temple, the Bible says the river was flowing to the east. That's what it says. Psalm says in chapter 46 and verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved, because God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Dawn breaks from the east. And can I tell you, just as a new day comes from the east, that when God's Spirit flows, it can bring a new day into your life. Just as dawn breaks from the east, when God's Spirit flows, Ezekiel said, I saw the river flowing to the east. I want to take out of that this morning and apply to somebody that God's river can flow to a new day in your life. God's river can flow to a new dawn in your existence. When the Spirit flows, it can bring a new day. It doesn't matter what has been in your life. If you'll let the river flow, the river can bring a new day into your life. It was at President Clinton's inauguration years ago that a preacher by the name of Tony Campolo was speaking, telling the story of his elder pastor who preached a sermon in his home church. I believe the sermon was preached on Easter, and he told that his pastor, this elder, who had grown feeble in his years, stood to that pulpit on that day and began that message with an explosion. It was just one line, but it resonated with everybody that day. He stood to the pulpit and he simply said, it's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. It's Friday, Jesus was killed. It's Friday, darkness in the land. It's Friday, darkness across the natural and spiritual landscapes. But the good news is, while it's Friday, Sunday's a coming. This world just celebrated the greatest dawn, the greatest sunrise, the greatest new day that we've ever witnessed in human history on the day of Easter. It was celebrated around the world this last Easter, as it is annually, the day that Jesus Christ rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I've come to preach to somebody that it may feel like a Friday in your life, that there's darkness across the landscape, that there's doom and gloom and destruction, but I've come to declare to you that a new day is coming. Your heart may be broken, but the heart mender is flowing in this place today. You may be troubled in your mind, but the mind restorer, his river is flowing in this place today. You may be full of fear or guilt, but there is a river that is flowing of his presence in this place today, and it can bring a new life. It can bring a new day. Romans says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, that same spirit that raised up Christ can bring a new day in your life. God's spirit. The river flows to the east. The river flows to a new day, and it's flowing that direction this morning. It didn't just flow to the east, but the Bible says in what God showed Ezekiel that the river flowed down. Can I just apply this like this today? That the river of his presence will flow down to where you are. You may be in a low place, but the river flows down. You may feel like you're at rock bottom and everything's happening way far above where you're at spiritually, but I've got good news for you. The river can flow to where you are. The temple that Ezekiel saw sat atop Mount Zion. Ezekiel saw the river flowing into the sea that was some 15 miles away. The temple that where the temple was in Jerusalem was some 2,500 feet above sea level. And then the sea that it flowed to, the Dead Sea, was some 1,300 feet below the sea level of the Mediterranean. So get this, in the space of about 15 miles, the river flowed 3,800 feet down. Think of that incline. That'd be like standing up on top of the roof of this building. Anybody have a desire to do that? Not I, says me. That'd be like standing up on top of this roof and watching a river flow from the top of the roof of APC, how high that is, all the way down in our retention pond down there. I mean, just a river at that incline. Can you imagine how fast moving that river was? How mighty, how rushing that river, the torrent, the gushing down that river Ezekiel looked at would have had when it was flowing on that incline. Can I tell you that God's Spirit can reach down to where you are? You are not too far down that the flow of his river cannot reach you. God's Spirit reached to Paul in the middle of his anger and his hatred against the church, but the river flowed to where he was. It flowed to Simon Peter, even though he was hot-headed and brash and full of zeal that was a bit misplaced at times. It flowed to where Simon Peter was. It flowed to John Mark in his unfaithfulness and inconsistency. It flowed to Mary in her isolation and in her loneliness. The river flowed to Nicodemus in his confusion about the kingdom of God. The river flowed down to the woman with the issue who couldn't even pick herself up. I'm preaching to somebody today that if you can't pick yourself up, you're in a good place, because the river is flowing and it'll flow down to where you are. It didn't just flow down, but Ezekiel chapter 47 in the second verse we reread, it said, and then he brought me out. He brought me out. Somebody say out. Can I tell you that the river doesn't just flow east and it doesn't just flow down, but it flows out. And if the river can flow out, can I just apply it this way? God can bring you out of whatever you're bound by, whatever you're struggling with. God can bring you out. Is there anybody that's a testimony and a witness that God can bring you out, that God has brought you out? It was earlier in Ezekiel that he took him deep within the temple and he saw some things that were ugly, creepy, crawly things. He saw filthy things and it was all down in the temple. And yet God showed him his presence was flowing out of the temple. Can I tell you, whatever you're struggling with, God can bring you out of. I know it's a simple thought. It's a simple message. But whatever you're confused by, God can bring you out of. Whatever you're tempted by, whatever you're haunted by, God can bring you out of. He can take you out of your fear. He can take you out of your dilemma. He can take you out of that habit. He can take you out of that hurt. And he is in this place today to bring somebody out. He's in this place today to bring somebody out. There may be somebody here for the very first time, and you've got sin in your life that you know about, and maybe you've got sin in your life that you don't even realize is wrong, and you don't even realize is sin. But I'm telling you, no matter who you are or where you're from, Jesus Christ can bring you out of what you're struggling with. Jesus Christ can bring you out of the dilemma of your life. It is a river of living water, and Jesus said to the woman, he said, if you'll drink what I have for you, it'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It is God's will that we be so full of the flow of his presence, so full of the flow of the river, that it doesn't just flow down to us, but it flows, overflows out of us, that it flows into us and it flows out of us. And somebody ought to make up your mind today, I'm going to let his river flow. Would you lift your hands to the Lord right now? And would you say, Lord, let your river flow and let your spirit move. God, let your grace run free in this sanctuary today. Let your power flow free in this sanctuary today. Let your river flow. Let your spirit move. Oh, come on, somebody just respond to the flow of his river right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I realize that God was showing Ezekiel a whole lot more than what I've preached to you here today. We've just scratched the surface in this short amount of time. But I'm telling you that it can flow to a new day in your life. It can flow down to where you are. And it can bring you out of where you're at right now. It's in this place right now. Somebody needs to let the river flow. Our natural tendency when a river flows, when it wants to overflow, men build levees. They build dams and dikes and they sandbag and they try to at least channel the flow of the river. Try to control it. I don't want to control the flow of this river. I need to say that again. I don't want to control the flow of this river. They'll try to stop the flow of the river. Some will channel it. Others will, they might build a big dam to try to stop the flow and only let out what they want. Only let out what they desire. Maybe somebody here has experienced a kind of a flow like that. Maybe you've been shopping religion. Maybe you've visited around a little bit and it feels like everything's controlled and everything's in sequence and everything's... Can I tell you right now, we're not trying to control the flow of this river. We just want to let it move. We just want to let it flow. We want to let it flow to everyone, to whosoever will. We've got a schedule. We've got an order. In fact, in just a few minutes, somebody's going to be baptized. But we're not bound to any schedule or any timetable. We want to say, God, let your river flow and let it flow where it wants to. We're not trying to sandbag against it. We got too many spiritual sandbags in our world. We got too many spiritual sandbags in our world. They're going to hold their ground and they're going to resist the flow. It ain't going to move me. You don't want to be moved by it, it probably isn't going to move you. Can I tell you that God's looking for somebody that'll lift up a spirit of surrender and say, Lord, I want you to flow in me. I want you to flow in me. If that's your desire, would you stand to your feet right now? Would you lift up your voice? Would you lift up your hands? And would you just begin to respond to the holy presence of God that's in this sanctuary right now? Come on, somebody stretch your hands to heaven and just begin to respond to the flow of His presence. Somebody make up in your mind right now, I'm going to let it flow. 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 Don't stop it. Don't hinder it. Don't let lunch become a sandbag. Don't let distraction become a sandbag. Don't let anybody or anything around you become a hindrance to His flow. But somebody ought to step out of your seat right now and join us around this altar. Join us around this front and just lift up your voice and say, Lord, I want your flow to come through me. I want it to come to where I'm at. God, I don't want to resist it today. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to push against it. But God, I want you to flow. This altar is open and I'm inviting everyone that would to come. If you want to let His Spirit flow in your life, you can do it by taking a step out of where you're at. By walking to this altar and by lifting up your hands. It's a universal sign of surrender. And it certainly works in His presence. You can lift up your hands and you can lift up your voice. And say, Lord, flow in me. Lord, flow in me. Lord, flow in me. If you've never repented of your sins, He can forgive you today. And all you have to do is ask Him to forgive you. If you've never been filled with His Spirit, you can be filled today, and all you have to do is ask Him to fill you. Come on, somebody. That's it. Let it flow through you. Let it flow in your life right now. Let it flow in your family. If you're sick in your body, you can come and receive the flow of His presence. If you have a need in your life, you can come and receive the flow of His presence, Lord, right now. I pray by the power of your word, Lord, by the moving of your Spirit, that you would let your presence flow into every heart, that it would flow into every life, and that you would bring a new renewing, that you would bring a new day. God, that you would bring somebody out of their dilemma. God, that you would bring strength and refreshing by the flow of your presence. We worship you, Lord. We praise you right now. That's it. Lift up your voice to Him. Lord, I want your presence to fall and to flow in me today. Hallelujah, hallelujah.